Now it's time for our scripture reading. Turn in the New Testament to the book of Acts. Follow along in the book of Acts, starting at the beginning of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
Father, thank you. Thank you for this time of worship, for this time to sing to you, to talk to you in prayer, to hear from you through your word, to be able to have you guide us in choosing new leadership for the church, for being able to be here together and to partner with other organizations that are doing your will as well. And Lord, we come here to praise you, worship you, to fellowship with each other. Lord, we pray that this will all shape us and form us more and more into who you're calling us to be. And Lord, I pray that the words that shall be spoken next, Lord, may they be your words and not mine. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last week, we focused on Ascension Day, that day when Jesus met with his disciples on a mountaintop and Jesus gave them last instructions, and then he went up to heaven and left them behind and said, "Hey, basically, you got to kind of carry on the work that I've begun. But remember, I promised you the gift of my Spirit, the Holy Spirit." So this morning, we celebrate and remember the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has returned home and told his disciples to go and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I always wondered, if he went straight to heaven, why didn't he just give it to them right there on the mountain? But Jesus is thinking and planning is way better than mine. So he sends them to Jerusalem to go there. And then when they get there, it's a feast of the Pentecost, that harvest feast, that feast where the people come together as God had told them to in the Old Testament to give thanks and to offer sacrifices for a bountiful harvest once again that he's provided. And it happens 50 days after Passover. And that's why it's called Pentecost, because Pentecost is a Greek word for 50. So the disciples go to Jerusalem as Jesus had told them. "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father's promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The coming of the Holy Spirit is connected to the harvest, reminding us of Jesus' comment that the fields are white with harvest. All he really needs is workers, and honestly, it is the same today. There are so many people who ache to know about who Jesus is, who are looking for reason and meaning and purpose and value, for acceptance, for so many things that only Jesus can offer. And there's still a lack of workers today. The Holy Spirit comes with the sound of a rushing wind. And I remember growing up and thinking, why would the Holy Spirit come like with the sound of a rushing wind? I couldn't figure out why. But for Israel, the wind is a familiar image of the Holy Spirit. And in Ezekiel, I'm sure many of you know this story of the valley of the dry bones. Just going to give you kind of a summary of it. The Spirit of the Lord says to Ezekiel, he sets me in the middle of a valley. It's full of bones. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, well, sovereign Lord, you alone know. It's kind of a safe answer to always give God, eh? Like, he asks us if we know, and we just say, well, God, you know. And then the Lord says to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. And then the Lord goes on, you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll put my spirit in you and you'll live, and I'll settle you in your own land, and you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. And you might be wondering, hey, there's no word of wind here. But that's one of those fascinating things with God and with the writers he uses and with the language, the Hebrew and the Greek language. See, Lord is using wordplay here as a word for wind and for breath and for spirit are all the same word. In John 20, when Jesus met his disciples in the upper room, right after resurrection, Jesus breathes on his disciples. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. See, the word for all these words could be interchanged here, that Jesus breathed on them. Jesus breathed his spirit. When the bones, there's this breath of God, this wind of God, this spirit of God that brings them life. There's this rattling of bones. Well, this rattling bones, you know, comes from that breath of God, that wind of God, that spirit of God drawing them together, putting them together, and then putting flesh on them and then filling them with life. That's why when you read, you know, when God creates Adam and Eve as well, when God breathes his spirit into them, this word, the spirit, God's breath, the wind, the moving of the spirit, this is all interconnected. And that's what Pentecost, this is all interconnected on this day. And the Holy Spirit is God. It's a gift, it's a presence. It brings new life and new hope. And I love how Jesus says, you know, if you forgive anyone's sins or sins are forgiven, then there's that warning, if you don't forgive, they're not forgiven. But that life, that breath, that spirit, that presence of God, you know, is also that sign of forgiveness, that sign of mercy, that sign of grace, of God's presence. And then Luke's says, you know, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And again, God's playing with words here. And Luke's playing with words as even in English as well. The word for tongues and the word for languages, often the same. We use them interchangeably as well. So it's an echo back to that Tower of Babel when people's languages are confused because they're building a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth. And the Lord responds, as if one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they'll not understand each other. Pentecost. Pentecost is that coming of the Holy Spirit to tongues of fire, languages is given to them so that, you know, as God scattered the people across the world, they refused to cover the whole of God's creation. So God had to make them go. But now they've kind of separated. They've kind of not only separated, but they've created barriers between each other. And one of the barriers was language. Others was nationality and ethnic pride and different ways of doing things. And they began to look at themselves in terms of them and us. And now comes the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enables them once again to be able to communicate with each other. The new church is equipped through the Holy Spirit to go to the nations to share the gospel news to the Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and I can imagine other languages being spoken there as well. And there's this picture of now they're all hearing the same word of God, bringing them together, joining them together, making them one. They all get the same message at the same time. And I go, wow, I'm amazed that always at how God works and how he's able to work. And we see so many barriers, and God in moments can break down those barriers and draw together his people again. The whole Heidelberg Catechism talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in gathering together the church in question and answer 54. I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, preserves for himself a community of chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member. Ah, the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit uses and equips us, you and me, to gather God's chosen community as we share our faith in Jesus with others and as we live out our chosenness in our day-to-day lives. This is all part of what God promised Abram back in Genesis 12 when he said he'll make Abram a blessing to all the nations of the world. And God does this especially through Jesus, and now he does it through the body of Jesus. That's you and me. That's us. And the body of Jesus is literally around the world. And this morning, there are churches across this world in a multitude of languages worshiping and praising God. I still get the bulletin from Montreal Church. And in the bulletin this week, they've got all the different languages that are going to be spoken in their worship this morning. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, we got to get more people learning different languages here so that we can do that here as well. Just as a symbol, as a picture of what heaven's going to be like, of everybody being gathered from all these nations and all praising God. And I imagine talking to each other and we'll be able to understand each other and we'll be able to worship together and honor our God and our King together. And he does it through all the multitude of languages that are in the world today. And to be a blessing, to be God's blessing, to be the body of Christ, what greater blessing is there today than to introduce people to Jesus and all that he's done for us in washing away our sin on the cross, bringing us healing from our brokenness and pain. We often look to the things of the world to find hope, to find healing, to find meaning. And yet through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to look outside ourselves for healing and hope. Because the Spirit within us brings us what we need, a renewed relationship with God, a counselor, a guide, someone who reminds us of the words of Jesus and who Jesus is. And who opens and helps us to understand the Word of God to find our hope and healing there. I was just listening to a podcast on Think You this weekend. And they were talking with Lisa Miller, who's a psychologist. And she was talking about how so many people today, you know, are the suicide rates are growing growing more and more and more in North America. And how in her study, working with the American Armed Forces, but also working in universities and schools and with parents, has discovered that when people come to know who Jesus is, when people come to know the Word of God, when they come to recognize that God is their Father and Jesus is their Savior and their friend, that the rates of suicide and the rates of mental health and illness go down. In the American Army, it went down by 46%. In universities, it went down by 35% within families as they come to share with their kids and really share into their kids that love of God, that knowledge of who Jesus is, you know, that these children and these teens are much less susceptible as they go through high school and university and enter into the workforce and have falling into those deeper depressions that can lead to suicide. And it just reminds me that, you know, this is what this is why we're here, is to help people come to know Jesus, to come to know that healing and that hope, to find that healing and that grace, to realize we are not what our sin tells us we are, but we're who God sees us as his precious children. I went way off script, sorry, in the back. But I love how Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit points us to telling others about Jesus and building the kingdom of heaven. However, the coming of the Holy Spirit isn't just about sharing the gospel. The Holy Spirit's also given to remind to strengthen the church and guide us into a closer relationship with Jesus. Derek Freeland reminds us, the church is not merely a gathering of the baptized to be scattered in the world. The church is a gathering of the baptized, energized with the Spirit, and then given to the world. The church as the body of Jesus is a gift to the world. Do you honestly believe that? Do you really believe that Bethel Church has been given to Lacombe, to this area, as a gift, as his gift? I encourage you to begin to reflect on that, to think about that, and then to say, how can we be that gift? How can we be a gift to this community? The church as a body of Christ is a gift to the world. that gives the world a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, of God's shaping of a body that lives together, loves together, forgives and offers grace, invests in each other so that we might become more and more who God is calling us to be. Go back to the Heidelberg Catechism again, to question and answer 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? And then the answer is, well, first, that believers one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and joyfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. Strong and healthy church. See, to be a church that goes into the world with the good news of Jesus, we need to be healthy together as we bring the healing, hope-filled message of Jesus that brings new life. The Belgian Confession picks up on this as well. We believe that this true faith, produced in us by the hearing of God's word and by the work of the Holy Spirit, regenerates us and makes us new creatures, causing us to live a new life and freeing us from the slavery of sin. That's the heart of the good news of Jesus. It's not that we'll never face trouble or hard times, but it's that we're freed from the slavery of sin, freed from the lie that we need to save ourselves or that our value comes from what we do and offer. Our value comes from being made new through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sin, washing us clean from our sin, being adopted into the family of God and body of Jesus, being accepted for who we are and knowing that God loves us so much, he's not going to leave us as we are. And he's going to invest in us, pour in us to help us become more and more who he's calling us to be. And Paul picks up on that family of God image in Galatians 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. This joining together, all together. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. All these things that were barriers between people, now you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There are so many barriers still today. And God is still at work using us to break down barriers, to build this body of Christ, this kingdom of heaven here. So what does it mean to be a healthy church? Well, that's a whole other sermon, and I don't have time this morning. Well, I do have time, unless you walk out. But what does it mean to be a healthy church, able to reach our neighbors with the good news of Christ? Well, the early church, it gives us some good insights into what a solid foundation looks like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, learning together, hospitality and friendship, generosity and compassionate care for each other, worship of God, generously sharing our faith are always at the heart of a strong church, leading to becoming a church well-equipped to build the kingdom of heaven right here, right now, through the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. So this Sunday, I encourage you, reflect on this gift of the Holy Spirit. Take a look inside your own hearts and souls and lives and your families. Talk about it today. Ask each other, how can we be more open to the Holy Spirit shaping us? More and more into the image of God. More and more into the body of Christ. How can we help each other to recognize the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How can we invest in each other so that we are a church, the body of Christ, that is strong for the kingdom of heaven, so that we might be an amazing gift to this community. After all, that's why God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fire and the flame and for the wind that reminds us that the Spirit blows all over this world, and that the flame is that sign of tongues and purification and languages and how you draw all your people into the body of Christ. So Lord, use us to be part of this drawing of people into the body of Christ. Use us to go into our community, to share the gospel news of Jesus, but also may your Spirit build us strong together as a healthy church. A healthy church that worships you, that praises you, that builds each other up, that helps each other to know you more and more, and to help each other become more and more who you're calling us to be. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.